Everybody for coming, and people keep streaming in, and that's great. I'm a nurse here in, actually down the street. I also am a nurse in the health offices of the school district. And every day, on every shift, I'm advocating for my patients. And a natural extension of that advocacy and that care that I give my patients is demanding that we have Medicare for all. More and more, the patients that I take care of are sicker and sicker. They're coming in with more and more complicated issues, and more I see patients that are falling through the cracks. It's not just the access to care, it's, you know, the getting prescription meds, getting it consistently, and seeing how the healthcare industry and the corporations are really making money off of my patients. Dr. Martin Luther King said that one of the biggest injustices of all is the injustice of healthcare. It's the most shocking and the most inhumane. And that is true then, and it's true now more than ever. And this bill is 22 million people losing, as people have been saying, losing health insurance is going to account for 28,600 deaths annually of people. And that is just unacceptable in the United States, in a first world industrialized nation. So what we need is Medicare for all. Yeah. Now. Yeah. Speakers, plural.
It always comes in a bundle.
Twofer, or maybe even a threefer. I'm very, very proud to be, to know these women. They're a great source of inspiration. They have been for me personally for decades, but also in our community. Our community is extraordinarily lucky to have the Taya's Hidon clan here and being movers and shakers in our Madison community and advocating for all of our residents in this community. So I have Teresa Tellez Hidon, and I'll let you speak. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Good afternoon, everybody. And like Victoria said, you know, usually it doesn't come by just one person, it comes in a bundle, just like TDS, you know, that has a bundle, three for one. She called me and asked me to be one of the speakers, like Thursday or Friday. I'm like, I will do it just because.
Monday?
I don't know. But like she said, you know, this is something that is very close to my heart personally, and also very close to my community, because this is going to impact everybody. Is going to impact my mother, who's going to speak to you, and I'll introduce them. I work for Dane County Human Services as a child protective services, social services specialist. But I'm also very active in the Latino community. I'm the co-chair of the Latino Health Council and in the executive committee of LASUP, the Latino Support Program. And everywhere I work, I am also an interpreter, which I wear different hats everywhere I go. And so everywhere, in every capacity that I work, I can see how this is going to impact so many people in the Latino and the entire community. You know, just personally, I'm gonna share this story with you. I had cancer last year, and I can't imagine not having insurance when I was diagnosed with cancer. And the support of the community and everybody in here will know and understand that now a pre-existing condition will be taken into consideration if this is the case that we allow these people to move forward with this plan. I have two daughters that I know will be impacted in the future with this plan, because this is not a short-term decision. This is a long-term decision, and this is something that I've been talking to the community. In our community, we have a hard time educating the Latino community about political issues. And many people think that this is a short term, like a year, 2 year process, impact that is going to have in the community. But this is going to be a long, my grandchildren will probably be impacted, if I have any, would be impacted by this move, but by this, if it passes, it's going to be impacted. I can tell you stories, story after story of how many people in the Latino community who don't have insurance are impacted and will be impacted by this plan. I can tell you stories of people who have cancer and were not able to get any health insurance, not because of Obamacare, but because being undocumented. And so imagine everybody that is going to be impacted if we don't have a plan that covers everybody in this country. It's pretty sad that many people, many Americans, have to go to Mexico to get health care and to get dental care because they can't afford it in the United States, a country where we come and we say, oh my God, this is the beautiful country where we're going to get all these benefits and all this work, and we're going to get, you know, all this beautiful stuff. And then you get here and suddenly you can't even get health coverage for your children. I want to ask everybody to just remember that we have to reach out, because the people that are here, we're already very active. I recognize a lot of faces, but we have to be able to speak Spanish, English, Chinese, Hmong, every language, so we can reach out to those communities that are going to be impacted by this plan if we don't do something about it. So I'm so happy to see everybody here. And now, like I say, we come in bundles. And I work in the social arena, so I'm going to introduce first my mom and then my sister, who is the co-chair of the Latino Health Council, and she knows more about, you know, what's happening out there with the health plans and all of that. My mom has been an activist for almost 30 years, and her community of elderly is going to be tremendously impacted. She just retired, but I know that she's going to be impacted too if anything changes, because she just retired. And so I, you know, I'm here and I will be following Victoria everywhere she goes to try to support her. And I thank everyone for being here. And I ask you to advocate for those that have no voice in this community too. Thank you.
Everyone, I'm so happy to see the room full. I worked for Latino Seniors for 21 years, and it's too sad to every day to see them and only quiet say everything is gonna be okay. Everything is gonna be okay. But don't get in services for them, because many of them don't qualify for health insurance. In the past years, they finally qualified to buy some medical insurance. It's hard for the children because many of them don't work. They now are sick, and I see them dying little by little. Because, you know, when we are getting old, we have some chronic diseases. And it's not possible for the children to pay, to afford for a medical insurance or to pay for medication. For example, for me, I work and I have my benefits. I have the Medicare. But even when I have the Medicare, I need to pay for a supplemental insurance that is not easy to pay. Thank you for my children. I have house and I have food, but it's not the case for all of the other Latino seniors. It's hard to, even when I have the supplemental, some of my medication are not covered because the Medicare don't cover. Then I can imagine if I don't have the Medicare, what is gonna happen with me? I am diabetic. I have been diabetic for almost 35 years. Now I have other illnesses that I need to take care of and medications and that I'm gonna need it. But what is gonna happen? Maybe my children are going to cover for me. I get Social Security money, but it's not gonna be covering in case that I get sick. In case of the Latino seniors, many of them need to go to the emergency room. Then it's expensive to go to the emergency room. If you have a family doctor, it's more that the doctor is taking care of you. It's cheaper. But if you go to the emergency room, it's expensive. Then we need to get health insurance for everybody, because in this case, everybody is gonna be less money to pay. I think it's no, the decisions for the actual government, for me, is no good, because it's affecting many people, it's affecting our community, and it's gonna affect all of you, because the pay for the healthcare is gonna be expensive for if you go to the, like I told you, for emergency room, and to have your care every month or every 3 months and going. Then I'm gonna talk with the seniors and the children to push for, to call to the Senate, this person to ask to keep the Medicare.
Hello, just like my sister and my mother, I wear several hats. I'm a physician. I train in Mexico, and I train in a system that was very different than this system. However, when you start comparing a little bit of the systems, you know, because we don't have money back home, we do a lot of prevention and we find other ways of taking care of our own. I'm a physician with the Department of Family Medicine. I'm also an associate professor with the Department of Family Medicine. I'm the co-chair of the Latino Health Council, and I'm also in the board of the Access Community Health Centers. So I try to touch different areas, and through all the things that I do, obviously I see what is happening with healthcare in this country. As an outsider, obviously I have a different eye to see the healthcare system, and coming again from a different system. When I moved to this country and when I saw the prices of healthcare in this country, and you know, even as a physician, the fact that you get 15 minutes to see someone, and that you come to the doctor and you have to talk about one problem, right? Because it's like you're limited, 15 minutes, one problem, out, you're done. It always, you know, impressed me, like, how is that people are taking this? How is that people are not speaking up and saying, what are you talking about? I come here, I take time off from my work for 15 minutes, you can't see me, you are always late. The doctors are always late, right? And there is a reason of why we are late. I get in the room and you seem to be very stressed out. Yes, we are, because the system is stressing us out too. And then you charge me $300-$400. How is this possible? And myself as a physician, I also wonder, how is this possible? And we are talking about 20 years ago when I got here, and I was already wondering, how is this possible? I didn't believe that this could get worse. Well, I was very wrong. This is getting much worse, right? So for a while, you know, we were all thinking, okay, well, things are going to get better. And then we got Obama, and Obama had to fight really hard to get where we are. And then finally, we started seeing some changes. And again, when you thought that it couldn't get worse, it is getting worse, right? So I think I'm happy to see that if there is something good that is coming out of all of this, is that we are here today, people are active, people are finally waking up and saying, enough of a 15-minute visit. enough of no coverage. Enough of you charging us so much money and not thinking about us because you have the care. If you are in the government, you get very good health insurance. You don't worry about that. You don't even think about it, right? So it has been one thing after the other, right? This year, since the current president was elected, our community has been so stressed out for many reasons. And I'm talking about our, not the Latino community. Our community has been stressed out about many reasons. But as a physician, when this president started, I have seen an increase on depression, anxiety, getting worse. Every type of condition is getting worse. And again, I'm not even talking about people without insurance or Latinos. I'm talking about every patient that I'm seeing. I have had comments from patients that say, I'm here for permanent birth control or something long-term birth control because I am not having a baby on this president's presidency. Yeah. To that point, you know how sad that you have to decide your fertility on what is going on in the political arena. So I have seen so many changes when this has not even changed yet. So I cannot even imagine what will happen if this bill will pass. Of course that whoever is up here is not seeing it. They don't come to see a doctor the way my patients do. They are not a physician, because that's the other thing that we have been bombarded that, well, this is happening because physicians make too much money, you know, and they are greedy and they just want to keep on going, you know, with getting more money. Let me assure you that that is part of the problem, definitely, but not the big picture of this.
The insurance companies.
So the insurance companies, the third parties, they're passing the money here and there. So definitely communities of color are going to be feeling this. And again, we believe that, oh, whatever happens to them is not affecting us. No, of course it's gonna, we are all paying for the medical care we are all getting. So if we don't include everybody on thinking about all of these issues, you know, it's not gonna happen. So we have to be united, we have to support, you know, the people that are helping us. We have to go against the people that are not representing us. And if we all do this together and in an organized way, they are gonna hear our voices. And that's why we need to keep together, everybody, not only the minority communities, but everybody supporting each other and supporting this so that it doesn't go through. So thank you for being here.
Okay. The next speaker is another person that Madison is lucky to have, is Will Williams, a member of Veterans for Peace and a veteran of the Vietnam War. He was born in Mississippi, did two tours of duty in Vietnam, and returned from the war with severe post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was in 1992 that he began to heal himself by fighting for peace and against war. He's been featured in several books and movies, including the Emmy-winning documentary, The Good Soldier. He received Dane County's Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Humanitarian Award in 2005. A big welcome, please, for the legend in our midst, an ordinary man doing extraordinary things.
Wow, I hope I can live up to that.
Right.
I've been looking at healthcare for a long time, and I've always felt that it was a right that people should have. It came right out of the Constitution to promote the general welfare. Even when we got the Affordable Care Act, I was disturbed when I saw Democrats that were in the pockets of pharmaceuticals and insurance that refused to bring single payer to the table. We were fed the crap that the votes were not there. But the only reasons the votes weren't there was because they didn't have the guts to do what they should do if they truly wanted to represent the people that put them in office. Nothing new that Republicans have been one to privatize everything in government since they've been Republicans. I'll back up. Maybe when they first started in Ripon, maybe they had the right ideas. But since that time, I've noticed that education, healthcare, everything else is privatization. That's what's going on here. I came back from Vietnam. I was troubled, PTSD, had physical problems with Agent Orange that our government covered up for years, that it didn't affect us. But I was one that never really used private health care. Even among all the jobs I had, and I had some pretty good jobs. I worked in the mines, drove Greyhound, and had good insurance plans. But I always went to VA because that was part of the contract that I signed when I put my name on the line to be a soldier. You know, that VA would give me health care the rest of my life. So when I look at what's happening now, and know according to statistics, the number of veterans that are not served by the VA, I think it's around, I saw it was 20 million that are not served by Veterans Affairs. 1.8 million that will be hurt, detrimental if this budget passes. The ones that have worked all their lives, that were getting benefits because of injuries that they received in combat, would be cut because of this. Because in this bill, if one is getting a disability, when they become of age, if they are not of age already, the disability would stop and they would just get the Social Security. So it's imperative that we as people fight against everything that this administration is putting forward.
Yeah.
Because its whole agenda is wrong. And Ron Johnson is like a hemorrhoid. To people. He's a pain. And he has been for a long time. But we put him in office. I say we. I'm not speaking of myself. But I'm speaking of the people who believe the propaganda and the bull. The people that were not informed enough to even vote, got him in office. He's in, he probably feels safe because he just got reelected. You know, he's not worried about the midterm. His time's not up until after that. But I think we must put pressure on him and every other politician that's supposed to be representing us to vote against this bill. When I see these politicians wear their lapel pins and call us the vets heroes, thank you for your service, to me it's nothing but bullshit. They don't care about vets. They don't care about ordinary people. They only care about their careers and how to maintain their positions. So if we're smart, we'll look at all of them and start figuring out when and how will we get people in office that will represent all of us. not just one group or one class, but all. So I'm glad to see people here. I've seen many of the same faces over the years, you know, that are out to fight. And I believe in my old buddy Clarence Kalin's word that we got a lot of work to do. And unless we do it, unless we stop what's happening to the chance of people in this country, of our children, our grandchildren, of having a life at all, we must do all we can to stop what's going on. The status quo must change if we're to survive. It's not just health care. It's not just the budget. It's the environment. Everything that we need to survive is being attacked. It's under attack and have been for quite a while. So it's up to us to stop it. And I thank everyone for being here, for still fighting the fight, but we still have a long way to go to get to where we would be, where we can live as decent human beings.
I would just like to say I'm overwhelmed by how many people are here. Thank you so very, very much. I'm really thrilled. Victoria and I whipped this together in like, you know, 7 days flat. So thank you very, 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 very much for coming out. I'm so happy. We're going to have one more speaker, but then after that, we're going to take the open mic outside because it's not raining. Let's grab our opportunity while we have it. We can all take these signs and go down to the intersection, and then we see the most people, you know, then when they're stopped at the traffic lights right on that intersection, Winger and Park.
Not crossing the street. We don't want anybody arrested.
So well, you wouldn't be in the median, but you can go to the other side of the street and stand on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Sidewalk is fine, but not on the median. So anyway, we'll figure that out in a few minutes. But so thank you everybody. And now I would like to introduce Cynthia Burnson. She is the interim dean leadership of Our Wisconsin Revolution and a member of United Faculty and Academic Staff. Tough acts to follow. So thank you for bearing with me for these just last few minutes, and thank you so much for putting together. Great to see you all here today, and wonderful words by everybody. My name is Cynthia Burnson. I'm a lifelong Madison resident, proud graduate of Lapham Elementary, O'Keefe Middle School, East High School, and the University of Wisconsin-Madison a couple of times over. I've been volunteering my time this year with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Just to clarify, I'm just part of the interim group. I'm really excited to be involved with that. It grew out of the Bernie Sanders vision of a progressive future that serves ordinary people and not just the corporate elite. And when we asked our members, there's so much to work on, right? There's so much to work on. What should we start with first? And the number one response was always health care for all. It's incredibly important. And so we're honored to be working on this critical issue with partnership with many other groups. I don't think I need to convince this crowd that Trump Care is a horror show. And I don't think I need to convince this crowd that there's a million and one reasons that universal health care is what our country needs. We heard about it from many other wonderful speakers here. And it's also not enough just to prop up the ACA and fight for the status quo. It's the time for health care for all. And this is time for us all to pick up a piece of this fight and carry it forward together. Let me give you an example. Maybe it's a silly example, but I think it's sort of poignant on how bad things have gotten. One of the more visible moral failings in our healthcare in our country is the depressing regularity of crowdfunding for medical expenses.
Yeah.
Sure. You notice this one? Because our capitalist system cannot let even a single tragedy go by without finding a way to cash in on it. Crowdfunding websites have popped up all over the place to empower the sick and desperate to pass the hat for the chance at dignity and humane life-saving care. I could be here all day describing the heartbreak of Americans looking to their neighbors to chip in $5, $10 so their baby can get chemotherapy.
Yes.
So a mother of five can recover from a horrific car crash. Let me be clear, crowdfunding is not the problem. It's just a symptom. People do what they need to do to survive, and I'm all for it. I've chipped in some money in those hats myself. But sharing a link for donations to Facebook, it's not healthcare. Everyone deserves free comprehensive care. And of course, lack of access to healthcare is not evenly distributed in our society. There are perhaps few issues that touch so many struggles for liberation simultaneously. Healthcare is racial justice. Healthcare is LGBTQA rights. Healthcare is women's rights. Healthcare is economic freedom. Healthcare is immigrant rights. And we cannot be free if we cannot be healthy. Sometimes when I'm tired and despairing and discouraged, I play a little imaginary conversation for myself, so bear with me here. It's between me and my son. He's three right now. His name is Vigo. I'm imagining him 20 years down the future, and I'm going to give you a little acting out of how this goes. Vigo, it's me. Hi, Mom. I'm calling from college like I do every day because you raised me right, and I love you so much, and I also don't have to have an extra job because college is free. Today, I was in a history course, and my professor told me that way back in 2017, not everyone had health care. That can't be right, can it? Me. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Getting health care was something only some people could do, and for most people, it was a huge financial burden. People literally died because we hadn't decided as a society that everyone deserved health care. Other people just lost all their money and were left with nothing. Vigo, that's terrible. How did it change? Me, it wasn't easy, but there was this one moment where everything seemed possible and the people stood together and they said, enough is enough.
Yes.
President Trump, you probably learned about his impeachment and resignation in school, right? Anyway, while campaigning, he said, we're going to have health care for everybody. They can expect to have great health care, much less expensive and much better. Maybe not the most eloquent guy, but you know what? We actually all agreed with that. So we made it happen. End scene. Bye, Vigo. Oh. And the time is right now, and this is the moment we need to go beyond just fighting to preserve the status quo and offer a vision of humane universal health care coverage. A vision is a lot more than just saying, stay the same. We need to offer a positive vision going future. And our vision is powerful in its simplicity and its righteousness. Health care for all.
Yeah.
Yes.
For all. Child, every elder, yes. Every pregnant woman, every immigrant, every veteran, every person with disabilities, every person with pre-existing conditions, aka being a human being, everybody, no matter what. Healthcare for the worker, healthcare for the unemployed, healthcare for the innocent, healthcare for the guilty, because we do not do means testing for human rights. Healthcare for all is possible, and the momentum is on our side right now, but it's not inevitable, and it's not even close to inevitable. It's time to talk to your neighbors. We heard from many people that we need to reach outside this room. We need to reach outside of our communities and start building a lot more bridges. We have to be generous with our time, our resources, and get to work. I choose to work through our Wisconsin Revolution. I'd love to have you join us, but there are many ways to join the fight, and just choose your favorite. Whatever your avenue, make it count, stretch yourself, show up, get involved. Healthcare for all. Thank you.
Are you guys ready to go outside and get some hugs?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much.